Hey there, have your 2024 content marketing efforts stalled already? If you answered yes, book a content strategy call with me to uncover the roadblocks that may be holding you back. Visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com to book your content strategy call and check out the other resources while you're there. That's contentmarketingschoolonline.com. Richmond, welcome to Content Marketing School, where we will dive into content marketing strategies specifically for coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs. Discover how effective content marketing can elevate your brand and grow your business. And if you enjoy the show, don't forget to hit that follow button.
Well, hello out there to everyone who's joining us. I'm so excited to be here today with my friend and colleague, Brenda Miller. I'm Annette Richmond. This is Content Marketing School. And this is the very first LinkedIn Live under this new sort of brand. And I'm so excited to kind of see where this goes. So Brenda, for anyone who does not know you, can you tell us a little bit about like who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, first of all, Annette, for having me on. I'm honored to be on your show and delighted to be joining all of you virtually as well. My name is Brenda Miller, and I help solopreneurs, business professionals, and job seekers to get a bigger slice of the LinkedIn pie. Yes, that's right. I said pie. I love pie, and I love LinkedIn, and I come from a corporate marketing background, and I really just focused in on helping people using LinkedIn more effectively wherever you're at in your career journey, and super excited to be here to talk about the topic today because I did make the shift from corporate to consultant myself, and some of the same techniques that we're going to be talking about today are the same techniques I used before I left my corporate role and became self-employed.
Yeah, you know, I just have to show this here. You know, this is Brenda's book, and I think she may have another one coming out soon. So I'm excited for that. So much, tons of great information in your book. You know, we were talking a little bit about this before we went live, the idea that it can be tricky on social media, on LinkedIn, when you are, you know, moving from corporate to consulting. Maybe you've already left your job and you're just raring to jump right into it, or maybe you're still there and just thinking about it. So yeah. Can you give us, you know, share a little bit about sort of what you do in those different sets of circumstances?
Yeah, and there may be people that are watching right now live that are kind of like thinking about this, like maybe they don't want to get into the comments because they are working. Maybe they're on their lunch break or pulling their phone up and putting their headset on listening to the show right now, maybe listening into it later. And they're like, they've got the inkling of moving into a future career path, which is working for yourself. And there might be others that are already making that transition. Maybe you have the timeline in place, or you've given your employer notice and you're going to be leaving the workforce soon and starting your own business and you're ramping things up. Or there might be people that are on the other side of the spectrum, which is you've already left. Maybe it's just starting for now for you in 2024. Maybe you've been self-employed for years and you're trying to think about what to post and how to get more actionable posts out there on the platform. But I like to think about like when I was back in that first phase, Annette, the phase of I was working, I had maybe just an interest. It wasn't even an inkling at that point. I had an interest and I admired the people that were self-employed. But I was always like, oh, I could never do that. Like, I don't know how those magical, mystical things occurred. Like, how did they leave corporate? And the challenge was always like, it's like looking at a mountain. How can I climb that mountain of being self-employed? How can I be successful as somebody who is self-employed? And I was working up the corporate path, you know, moving up positions in marketing. I had my eyes set on chief marketing officer, and I was progressively moving up in the organization. And I never thought about it really, but as I had that like interest, like I said, and what I started to do is while I was posting and supporting the organization that I work for, I also started posting things that were my area of expertise, but not necessarily pertinent to my employer. So sharing marketing tips, for example, and leaning into social media and specifically LinkedIn. And I started just kind of like putting some things out there, and they were never like, you know, click this link to work with me as a LinkedIn coach, because I wasn't a LinkedIn coach back then. I was an employee of a company, but I started realizing you can, you know, kind of plant the seed, if that makes sense, on doing your posts before you've even made that launch off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you sort of dip your toes in that water? Because, you know, I think it's very tricky. And I know sometimes people ask me, I'm sure they've asked you, if you're on LinkedIn and you have sort of, you know, a side hustle or your own business that you're doing, how do you walk that line between, you know, having the job, but also having that, you know, going and always, I would think some companies, the boss would be probably pretty supportive, and in other places, maybe not so much. So I think it's kind of that tricky tightrope to walk.
Yeah. And I think you've raised a really good point, Annette, which is, what are the rules at your company? What does it say in your employee handbook? If you have an employment contract or something, does it specify anything about having other work projects, or, you know, having a moonlight? And we used to call it moonlighting. Remember that?
Right,
before it was called a side hustle. Like, can you be moonlighting, or can you have other projects or work outside of employment? And even looking around within the group that you're a part of, the company that you're a part of, do other people, are they consultants on the side? And maybe asking them, you know, what did you have to do? Did you have to alert HR? Was there anything that, you know, like ask, pull them aside and, hey, how did you do it? But also look into the employee handbooks and things like that. Just understand, what are the rules of the road? Typically organizations, and again, this is not legal advice, Annette, this is just my experience.
Exactly.
Typically organizations say, if we are paying you as a salaried employee, then we are expecting that this is the bulk of the time that you're spending is, you know, during working hours is spending working on projects for us. You're not to be doing any work that is competing directly with what we are doing in your off hours. If you are doing some things in your off hours, you know, what you choose to spend your time and focus on in your off hours is up to you, but it should not overlap into your day job. Mm-hmm. So if, especially if you're in a leadership position, you can't be doing consulting projects and taking a half day off here and there to do consulting projects. Like, you've got to plan ahead for that, plan your vacation time around it, etc. But I mean, honestly, when I first started getting the inkling of doing this, it was because I was having people approaching me saying, hey, it seems like you've got this knack for marketing and social media. Can you come and speak at our conference or our event or at our company, train our team on LinkedIn? And I would typically, in the beginning, I would say, yes, but if I'm doing it during working hours, I've got to bring somebody from our sales team and they can give like a sales pitch about our products and services at the end. And probably 50% of the time, the companies would say, great. And I would tell my boss, and my boss was fine with it because I'm promoting the company and I'm bringing in, you know, potential new sales opportunities. 50% of the time, the person asking to book me would say, we don't want a sales pitch. Can we just pay you? You know, and then I'd have to, I checked with my employer and they said, it's fine if you're using your personal time as long as it's not competing, but you need to take the day off. And by the way, you can't use your work laptop or your work printer or our color ink or anything for any of your supplies. You got to use your own. And I said, absolutely. I'm doing this on my spare time and my downtime, using my vacation days and things like that. So I think, you know, you don't want to do everything like in a hidden, like, I think you want to be aware of what the rules are. And if the rules are very strict and there's no way you can do something on the side, I mean, ultimately, Annette, we're all responsible for our own career success, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So unless your employer says you have guaranteed employment for life, we will never fire you, never die. If you are locked in with a golden clause, you will never, then okay, don't do a side hustle. Don't think about this. But the reality is, most of us are working in an at-will employment situation. And what that means is they can fire you at any point in time, or you can leave the company at any point in time, unless there's a contract in place that says otherwise. So even though they may say you cannot do anything absolutely on the side, like we forbid you from doing this, you can look out for yourself. Right. And I think that's what I was doing initially with my side hustle. I was also separating it from a tax perspective, setting up an LLC a little bit differently. But I think you need to be looking out for yourself, because you are looking out for yourself for your entire lifetime. Your employer is really only looking out for you while you are an employee of the company, or while they value you as an employee of a company, which is another important fact, Annette, because most of us who left corporate, there was a period of time where we were in good graces with everyone with the company. The leadership team liked us. Things were going well. Sales were on the up. And then sales started to take a nosedive, or other things started happening, the pandemic and other things. And then all of a sudden, we weren't in good with those people anymore. Like, we were part of the inner circle, and now we're on the outside, but we didn't know. We were outside. And that, right? That might be a couple months, it might be 6 months, it might be a year. And you're no longer, the company's really no longer looking out for your best interest. Now they're thinking about, we need to do some layoffs and downsize people. So who's on that valued person list and who's not? And then how do we make them go away quietly? You know, lay them off, give them a separation or a severance package or things like that. And they're not looking out for you anymore, right?
Oh, absolutely. The last person that I know who, you know, had a job like that was my dad, you know, and then he retired from the company, had his retirement and pension and all that other stuff. But no, absolutely. And, you know, that's like a whole other thing. Once you start feeling like you're out of the loop, then you know that it's time to start thinking about something that might be another job. And it might be, you know, going into your own business consulting, or, you know, launching a business, whatever. And so since obviously, you know, you were talking about, you have done this on your own, what kinds of content can you share that, you know, walks that line? Let's say that you worked in marketing. And so you were talking about marketing, but what if I am an accountant, but yet my new business is graphic design, and I'm going to be doing that? I know it's kind of a, you know, weird mix, but it's like a left brain, right brain
type of a thing.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, what if my business is a, you know, a passion project that I'm going into that maybe I've been doing this for a long time, or maybe even marketing, but my new business is going to focus on social media. So how do you shift that content so it's, you know, not seen so much as a shift? I know that's a tough question.
I think it's a really interesting question. So I think the accountant graphic designer is such a left brain, right brain. I don't think that's a likely scenario. I would say, like, what if you were, and I'll just use my scenario, head of marketing, and you wanted to become a marketing consultant. I think that's more likely or more probable path. And I would say for those individuals, if you're starting to think you're getting that inkling about moving on, or you've made the commitment in your brain, you're going to now start ramping up this business. What I would start to do is just start, if you're posting regularly on LinkedIn, let's say you're posting 3 times a week, one of those posts should be supporting your company. So talking about your company, products, services, coworkers, resharing something from the company page, whatever, resharing news items. But one of the things, one of those three posts should be supporting the company. One of those items should be a topic that is illustrating your area of expertise. So maybe you're talking about marketing, but you're observing a trend. Like, for example, AI and ChatGPT is huge in marketing right now. And, you know, whether you like it or not, it's here to stay, I think. And how do you embrace it? And here's some things, you know, maybe that I've learned about ChatGPT and AI, and some considerations, some pros and cons, and then ending with, what do you think? And you're not talking about your company necessarily, even though your company might be using some tools or avoiding these tools for different reasons, but you don't talk about your company at all. You're just talking about something that is trending in the industry that is related to your topic of expertise, which I'm going to lean on this one, which, by the way, could also be something that you're going to be doing some consulting on. But you don't have to go out and say that in the post. You don't have to say, comment below if I can help you with a consulting project about this.
Really?
You don't have to say that,
okay.
Right? But what you're doing is really you're planting seeds. You're dropping little nuggets out there that illustrate your area of expertise, and your employer's going, wow, Brenda's amazing as a marketer. And she's talking about these marketing trends. And by the way, you know, there's no red flags because I'm posting about the company, once a week too. So they're like, oh, she's doing a blend of things. And from the outside perspective, people are going, wow, that Brenda, she's a really smart marketer. I wonder if she's ever thought about working on her own, or if I could hire her for a side project, or, you know, like you start to get people on the sidelines. I mean, and I was doing this. So once a week is about a company post. The second is just about some area of expertise. Maybe the third one, the third post that you do in a week, you're giving a shout out to somebody in your network. Maybe that's a coworker at your current employer. Maybe it's somebody that you've met through a networking event that is in your industry or could be a potential referral partner for you in the future. Maybe it's an organization that you are a part of as a member, either your company or you individually. But we can give shout outs. We can give kudos to people. You know, so think about, you're building up social media karma. You're building up visibility for yourself, and you're building up a good referral network by doing so also, because if I give you a shout out, Annette, you're going to be feeling really good about that. And you're going to eventually be thinking, how can I repay the favor to Brenda? You know, like, she's given me a shout out, how can I repay the favor? It's kind of like you inviting me on this show. I feel like I am indebted to you. Like, how am I going to ever repay Annette back by, you know, she's invited me on her show. It's like, how can I help her? And she's actually thinking, wow, Brenda's actually helping me by coming on my show. Right. Yeah. But if you do these activities, what will happen is, and this is what happened to me. I was doing these activities and I was like, had the inkling, but never really thought about, I was looking for my next corporate job. When I found myself in a situation, the universe nudged me forward, so to speak. I found myself in a situation where I was in career transition. And as I was applying for other jobs and doing interviews and whatnot, people started approaching me. Hey, Brenda, since you have some time, could you show me how to do LinkedIn? Or Brenda, since you have some time, can you help us with social media management? And I would say, well, I'm looking for a job. Well, just do it until you find a job. You know, maybe it'll be 3 months. Maybe it won't be that long, but can you just do it until you find a job? And then I'll say yes. And I'll find somebody else that can help you until I go back and find another job. Right. And in the sense you have some time was because of all those seeds that I had planted in posting leading up to it. And then for me, it was like all of a sudden the switch kind of flipped in my head. And I started realizing I'm not even marketing myself. What if I started marketing myself and Mellor Marketing as a business? I don't think I need a job anymore. Okay. You know, so you can build that visibility up for yourself while building up your business. And a lot of people, when I kind of did this soft announcement that Mellor Marketing was the business in the way, and everybody was like, absolutely, that's totally a natural progression. Like nobody said you had failed in corporate marketing, Brenda, and this is something that is a lesser. They're like, this is such a natural progression for you. And I had so many people approach me and say, you're going to be so successful at this because you're such a great marketer. And, you know, that meant the world to me, really.
Well, it is true. I mean, you're the, you know, the smartest marketer that I know. So what if you have not been posting, you know, on LinkedIn? And let's say that you're just a business person and your business strategy, and that's what you do, but you're wanting to do that consulting on the side. So what if you, or even if you are in marketing, it seems like with marketing, you would naturally be engaged already on LinkedIn, but what if you're in a position where that's not part of your, you know, job, so to speak?
Yeah.
How do you?
I train employees at organizations all the time that come into training. And then afterwards we do like a one-to-one follow-up, and they, you know, about half of them start the call with, all right, listen, marketing is not part of my job, or sales is not part of my job, or social media is not part of my job. I'm doing this with you because you say it's required. My boss says I need to, but I'm not really going to do anything with this. And I say, okay, let me kind of talk you through, what do you do for the company? Okay, I'm an account manager. I service my client's account. Okay, how are you using LinkedIn, and who's viewing your profile, who you're looking to attract? And I meet them where they are, but I help them to see that LinkedIn is really a great platform for creating visibility for yourself for the lifetime of your career. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a job search site. But using LinkedIn, it's a professional networking site. So people are going to associate you with your employer. Why not look like you're supportive of your employer by using LinkedIn? And here's like the bare minimum. I always like do the bare minimum for these people that are like, listen, I don't want to do this. I'm like, here's the bare minimum. Just get your profile set up so it doesn't look like you're looking for a job and that you're supportive of the company. And maybe once a week or so, do a post on LinkedIn. And they're like, okay. And then they kind of lean in and they get more involved with that. But I ultimately, I say, you know, your company is making an investment in you through this training. And, you know, this is really an investment that you can make in yourself by implementing what you do, because mm-hmm. you never know where the future may lead. Right. And that kind of perks up their ears sometimes, because, you know, there's no guarantee in employers. But a lot of us, you know, are not, you know, marketing or sales as a part of our job. But LinkedIn's a professional networking site, and it's a place that you can grow your personal brand and define what your personal brand is and grow your network, so that if and when the universe nudges you forward, or mm-hmm. you get that inkling to move out of corporate and into consulting, you've got a network of people, and you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from already having some type of a presence on LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for, because sometimes people, you know, they're it's not something that they do. It's not something yeah. that they do. And, you know, they don't know how to get started. And one of the things that I hear from people as a concern, was a concern of mine for years, is people are nervous about, you know, putting themselves out there on LinkedIn. You know, mm-hmm. they're nervous that people are going to judge them, or, you know, maybe that, you know, people will look at them and say, well, I don't know about that, Annette. She really doesn't know that much. She shouldn't be saying blah, blah, blah. And I think a lot of people are really afraid of that. And they don't realize that, you know, if I'm like a couple of years ahead of someone else, then I can certainly help and guide them. So what advice do you have for people that, you know, they do want to do it, but they're just like, you know, they're afraid.
Yeah, they're nervous. I always recommend that you start by spending more time in the homepage feed. Spend 15 minutes a day in your LinkedIn homepage. Scroll through, see what other people are talking about. And initially, you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to click on like or react or anything like that. Eventually, you'll get the little inkling, because you'll go, oh, my friend Annette is posting and I want to give it a like. Or my coworker Matt is posting and I want to give his post a like. And so I like to start kind of baby steps. Like, just get into the homepage feed, start reading what people are posting. And you can be a reader without interacting. You don't have to be super active on there, but just start reading and seeing what are the types of things that people are posting on LinkedIn. What's getting a good response, what's not getting a good response at all. So you'll start learning what other people are doing. And I think part of it is, like, people get so caught up in their head of like what makes a good post, and they want to be posting at this level, but they've never posted there. So they're feeling like whatever they're going to go out with is going to be here. But a lot of posts are kind of like someplace in the middle, mm-hmm. you know? So learn what the middle looks like by watching what other people are posting in your homepage feed, and start to treat it almost like a local community paper. You're just scrolling through and seeing what people are talking about. And just as like when you read the paper, Annette, there's going to be some articles that you skip. You flip the page of the paper entirely. You're not interested in, and others you're like pouring down and rereading it. So start to notice what's capturing your attention, what's drawing you in, and then almost like dissect it. What was it about this post that drew me in? Was it the headline? Was it the call to action? Was it the visual, the video? And then you can start to think about, well, what could I do that might be similar to that type of a technique? And start to get some ideas. And I'm not saying like plagiarize, don't like copy and paste what other people have done, but get inspiration from them. And honestly, Annette, the hardest thing to do is your first post on LinkedIn. The second hardest thing is your second post on LinkedIn. And it doesn't get automatically easier just by doing the first post. That's why I always try to, you know, encourage individuals to post once a week, commit to posting once a week. And if you're an employee thinking about making that shift from corporate to consultant, the easiest thing is honestly just go to your company page and click on repost. Or better yet, repost with your thoughts and add some commentary, and then gradually increase your frequency where you're starting to do some posts on your own. But, you know, just getting out there, I think, is an important thing in starting to post.
Sounds like a plan. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. So, you know, the thing too is with the idea of people being nervous about it, is, you know, not knowing what to come up with, you know, where to get ideas from. And, you know, it sounds like maybe if I was in sales or something, that I might talk about winning a big client, or maybe some, you know, going the extra mile for a client or something like that. I mean, what advice would you give people to say, you know, I'd like to do that too, but, you know, I don't know what to say, or everything's already been said. So, you know,
yeah,
which is not true, because, you know, it's not been said from your perspective, your experience, and all of that wrapped into it. So what, what's your advice for them?
You know, it's not been said from your perspective. And even if it's already been said, I mean, there's a lot of information that is being reshared in different ways and different formats. And people are even resharing quotes from great leadership figures as inspirational quotes posts on LinkedIn. And they're like, well, you didn't say that. Somebody else said it. Yeah, but they're giving them credit that goes along with it. I like to think about, like, if you're working in an organization and you're in a, let's say you're in a team meeting and there's 6 to 8 people around the table. Think about, you can even like to do this like on your notepad. Like, think about, what are 3 topics that you are more knowledgeable about than the person sitting next to you or across from you, right? Because you probably have some deeper insights in one area than they have. And that helps you, right? Like, if I work in marketing, I'm going to think about, well, I'm more knowledgeable about social media. I'm more knowledgeable about Google Analytics. And I'm more knowledgeable about logo design. You know, those are 3 topics that I could speak about, and I could pull from my career background, not just the role I'm in now, but I could do a post, let's say logo design, for example. Throughout my career, I've worked in a variety of organizations. And one thing I've noticed about logos is that they are not static. Like, companies tend to change the logos over time. Here are the 3 things that I think make for an effective logo design in 2024. Item number 1, you've got a social media avatar version of your logo, not just a rectangular bike. Item number 2, you have consistency with some things that, you know, whether they're brand fonts or brand colors or something that's pulling it into the new year. And item number 3 is, I'm blanking. You can come up with something that is a simple numbered list, and then ending that post with, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And that'd be a nice example of showing your expertise about a specific topic that some of your coworkers may not know about, drawing from your own career expertise and experience. A lot of this, honestly, Annette, it's like we're developing this little muscle in our brain for impromptu thinking and content marketing. You're not going to be great at first, but you need to start somewhere. That's an important thing. So just start posting. Don't ever delete your posts either. You can edit your posts if you want, but don't delete, because I don't know about you, Annette, I've learned from some of my worst performing posts as much as I have my best performing posts. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the thing too is, I talk to people, and I know you do too, when you're in training, and some people will say, you know, it's just boring. You know, going on LinkedIn, it's boring. And you know, they're really not that excited. But what they don't realize is, once you are active and you start to know people, it's fun. I mean, I wouldn't say LinkedIn is exactly like Facebook, obviously. But, you know, when I go on LinkedIn now, I can go down a rabbit hole there, because I'm like, oh, there's something from Brenda. Oh, what's she saying today? Oh, there's something from Jillian. What's she saying today? And, you know, I think it's, once you get over that hurdle of, I'm afraid to share because people are going to, you know, not like what I'm saying, or it's boring and it takes the time. But once you get over that hurdle, then I think it kind of changes everything. I mean, it did for me.
It's funny that you say that LinkedIn is boring, and I kind of laugh because I'm like, I don't think it's boring at all.
Oh,
and
I
think about, you know, what you see in your homepage feed is a result of the amount of time and activity that you're putting into LinkedIn. The algorithm is determining what to share with you. And if you're saying, gosh, what I'm seeing on LinkedIn is boring, it's because you're following boring people, or maybe you're not following the relevant people. And, you know, hopefully people are aware of this, but when you see posts in your homepage feed, in the upper right-hand corner of the post, there's 3 dots. And if you don't like that, then tell LinkedIn, I don't want to see this post, or unfollow this person. And it will start to remove some of the boring content. And then it'll serve you different posts from different people. And then maybe you start to see things that are more interesting and more relevant. And then it's no longer boring. Then it's like, okay, this is what I was looking for. I think a lot of it is just time and effort into engaging with things that are of interest to you. You need to tell LinkedIn. You know, you do that in the form of engaging, liking, reacting, commenting, replying. If you're never engaging with anything, it's like LinkedIn's like throwing spaghetti at a wall in your homepage feed, like trying to figure out what's going to stick. And a lot of it maybe is boring. It's salesy type of posts from people in your network or people that are not that active. But yeah, I definitely think the more time that you spend, but you can take an active role in that process by unfollowing people or even disconnecting from people, blocking people. There's some things that you can do to help to curate what you see in your homepage feed.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, I've been on LinkedIn for over a decade, but I wasn't really active and engaged until probably the pandemic when I met people on Clubhouse who were on LinkedIn, and I kind of, you know, started meeting people. And it, I guess it's like anything else, you know, once you start seeing the lay of the land and you know people that you want to, you know, hear what they're saying, it really changes everything. So we have, the time has flown by now, and I want to be respectful of your time. And I'm looking over, I'm seeing reactions. So there may be people who are actually thinking about maybe making this move, but they're not wanting to comment about it. So I have been seeing a little bit of that coming up on the side. So I always like to ask people at the end, because we've talked about a bunch of different things, what they would like to share that, you know, you think is important, but I haven't asked you and it hasn't come up yet. And you know, whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah.
And of course, people can find you.
Yeah. So since we're speaking about people that are, you know, this topic today is like, what should you post on LinkedIn if you're making that move from corporate to consultant? It really depends on where you're at in the journey, I think is an important thing. But I want to make sure that everyone is aware, just consider that all of your activities that you're doing on LinkedIn, your likes, your comments, RSVPing to events, participating in comments to events, things like that, those are public. So there might be people, Annette, that are, you might be getting a higher viewership for, or an RSVP. You may not be getting as many RSVPs because of that fact. Like, there might be people that are thinking about making the move, but they know that when they RSVP, that's visible. So they might be watching the playback. They might be watching this live and not engaging. And that's okay. I like to think about, there's this whole population of LinkedIn I like to call readers. And I mentioned this earlier. I don't like to say lurkers or stalkers, because that sounds kind of really negative. LinkedIn is really designed for people who are readers, who just read and consume without engaging with content. And if you are thinking, and you don't want to risk, you know, showing your cards, so to speak, that you're thinking about moving over to a consulting position, just consider the fact that everything that you are posting is public. But do be aware that there are some ways that you can limit your visibility, or you can be selective about who you're connected to, or, you know, who can see your posts and activities, things like that. There are things that you can do, and reach out to me if you'd like to learn more about those. And on that note, if people are interested in, is it okay if I talk about my LinkedIn and how they can connect with me now?
Of course. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So I've got creator mode set up on my profile. So if you happen to be watching this video or listening to this in a playback on the podcast or whatnot, if you go to my profile on LinkedIn, my name is Brenda Meller, M-E-L-L-E-R, not Miller, but Meller, Brenda Meller. And when you visit my profile, if we're not yet connected, you're going to see the button that says follow and not connect. Now, if you follow me, I still look at my followers once a week, and I screen in people that I think might be good connections. But if you do want to connect with me, click on the more button, and underneath there, you'll get a drop down that will either say personalize invite or connect. And when you click on that, just mention that you saw me on the Content Marketing School with Annette Richman, and I will gladly accept your invitation. That's how you connect with me. Yeah.
So it took me a little bit because I'm not used to sharing my screen on StreamYard. So this is Brenda. You cannot miss this amazing pink that just jumps right out at you. And so please do connect with her and follow her, because I have learned so much from her. I can't even tell you how fabulous it's been. So thank you so much, Brenda, for being here with me today. And people out there in the audience who are now commenting, thank you so much for being here as well. And that's it for today. Say goodbye.
Thanks for tuning into the Content Marketing Show with me, Annette Richmond. If today's insights have inspired and resonated with you, please share this episode. And if you haven't already, hit the follow button to keep learning and growing with us. Wait, before you go, are you struggling to create original content because you don't know what to say? Download a copy of 25 content ideas to kickstart your social media posts for people who don't know what to say. Use the link in the show notes or visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com. That's contentmarketingschoolonline.com.